and some of the Rabbi Yehuda Chosid's guidance and rules and halachas are very pretty straightforward. Many of them, however, are not straightforward at all, because they seem to be contradicting Mufushi Gemaras. Some of them are explicitly against Gemaras, and some of them are just, there's no source for it, unless you dig deeper into Kabbalah or something beyond just the Chelkei Shulchan Aruch. So there's various approaches in the Achronim how to go about it. So cutting hair on Rosh Chodesh, for instance, is one of these things. Many people have this akpoda on not having hair counts on Rosh Chodesh because of Yudah Chosid. It's not something which is in Shulchan Aruch. It's not something which is in the Gemara. It's not something which is in any mekoy beyond the Yudah Chosid. Even within the Yudah Chosid, there's a famous Nadi Yudah writes. He speaks about the Yudah Chosid writes about not. I think it's about. Yeah, one of the famous takon is not having names of your father-in-law, not having names, not a son-in-law, not having the same name than father-in-law, daughter-in-law, not having the same than the mother-in-law. Yeah. So it's a famous one. It's a really famous one. So there's no makor in Shas and Poskim about that. Just the Chosid said that it's not a good thing to do. So, I do not know. So let me just add to that. Let me go a bit further than what you're saying. So the Rebbe was asked about it in a very interesting shalit. The shalit itself is quite interesting, and he answers that Rebbe Chosid, some of them are against Mufushi Gemaras. Therefore, he says what Rebbe Chosid wrote was obviously only written for his family. Some guidance that he understood with his great wisdom and understanding, something which he decided that, you know, it's not good for his descendants to do. So that's the way he understood. It doesn't mean, however, that it's universally and globally to be taken as a rule. That's what the Neyud writes about Ibn Chosid. So just with family things, but it's not something which universally accepted. However, it seems to be very widespread. Takanas Ibn Chosid. As to whether it applies in this scenario, I do not know. I do not know. Pardon? Yes, I think there's much reason to be maker.
I think it was known that he only said it for his family.
No.
It was.
It doesn't. There's no evidence for that. But the Nani Buddha says it must be that it was only written for his family. He said you can't write a rule that two sisters are not allowed to marry two brothers if there's explicit gemaras, and more gemaras, and more gemaras, and more gemaras about it. So how can Ibn Chosid write two brothers not to marry two sisters?
There's lots of those.
It's over 50. So there's many of those things which are, you know, which. So he said that it can only be that Ibn Chosid understood for my descendants, my children, grandchildren, you know, I don't want him to do that. It's like a kind of personal as opposed to universal rule. It's interesting. Somebody just pointed out to me that Moshe Feinstein had two sons-in-law. What was the two sons-in-law? Moshe Tendler, and Moshe Tendler, note his name, and the other one was, it was Nifta very, very young, it wasn't so, and Moshe Haskell, or Shiskel, I forgot now his name, Shiskel I think his name was, Moshe, now outstanding time at Chochem, extraordinary, it was Nifta very, very young, but his first name was Moshe, Ramoshe, so we've got Moshe Feinstein with two sons-in-law, both of them being called Moshe, so you can kind of guess what his opinion is about the Chosid.
Yeah.
So that's another discussion. But the Pashtos is that if you don't keep to one, then you probably wouldn't keep to the others.
But I have heard about the on Shulchan.
Many are makbid, of course. Many are.
Was it you said that the father-in-law and the son-in-law shouldn't have the same name? But is that right? It's more on the women. It's more on the ladies.
Yeah. So many are. There's common sense to that one, really, as well. But I'm saying it's honey, can you change the baby? You know, and then that's that. Lemais, because it's very, very, very interesting. I had once a raya when we learned Hilchas Lag BaOmer. We learned Siman Tov Pei Tes. I did not point it out in Shir, but I was very excited that I saw a duke. It's in Mefushim Mishnah Berurah. It's quite black and white. Mishnah Berurah has no problem with cutting hair on Rosh Chodesh. I remember that in Siman Tov Pei Tes, it was evidence, clear cut evidence, that he was fine with cutting hair on Rosh Chodesh. He speaks about, you know, in that all, you know, the oymer, you know, that. Pardon?
Nails,
he didn't speak, nails too, anyway, yeah. Okay, Aboisai, I want to start, have we got the skhia of hearing, hopefully, we're really busy. So I'm going to cut myself very short, so you've got the...
25 minutes.
Okay.
You already have.
Indeed, well noticed, thank you very much. Yes, not much to do nowadays anymore. Yes, so that's what happens, but yeah. Okay, Rabbi Isai, I would like to start with something, a really important Mishnah, which we didn't mention. It's the very end of Siman Tov Pei Study Base, the last line. I will read the words because of its importance. It's at the last line of Siman Tov Pei Study Base. So it's the end of Mishnah Pesach Cotton Design. Because, I don't know why it brings it here. I do not know why it brings it over here. I don't understand why it's brought down over here. But so says the Mishnah Berurah, last 10-15 words of Siv Cotton Sof Reish Study Base. Last line. Kos Sof Pumigodin, Pumigodin writes, Sof Vegim Koris HaMegillah. If somebody's not sure if you read the Megillah, bad sign. He must have drank his good, you know. He doesn't remember. Did I read or not? I'm not sure. What was it? Did I read or not? Yeah? So we would have said, probably, and we mentioned it, we would have said that what? That's something that Rabbanan Lekula, right? Mishnah Berurah says no. Efshay, it could very well be. We do not say Sveket Rabbanan Lekula. Could be we don't say Sveket Rabbanan Lekula. Rather, we would say Mishum Du Divrei Kabbalah. Interesting. Mishnah Berurah wants to say that there is a concept of Divrei Kabbalah. The Rambam speaks about it in numerous places. There's really, unbeknownst to many, there's a level between the Rais and the Rabbanan. Well, we'll know the Rais is everything the Torah says. You know, we know its stringencies, and we know that. Yeah, kind of. Divrei Kabbalah, really, literally, Divrei Kabbalah. Kabbalah is really referring to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Instructions, mitzvahs, dini, malachas, which are sourced, Divrei Kabbalah, which are sourced in the Nevi'im, very often, they're not really pure Rabbanans. It's not the Reiser. It's not really the Rabbanan. It's a bit better. The Rabbanan would be, you know, Eruv Tafshilim, which there's nothing in the Torah. Chanukah, you know, there's nothing in the Torah. There's nothing. But Purim has an element of being Divrei Kabbalah because there is it's Megillah. It's the Megillah, and it may be sourced, you know, it may be looked at and approached on a different level than just the Sofek Rabbanan. He's mesupik about it because there's no clear cut rule in terms of what you do about Sofek. We know Sofek Deraisa was stringent. Sofek Rabbanan, lenient. We're not quite sure what we do about Sofek Sofek Divrei Kabbalah.
The national, what's the Torah? Is it the mitzvah?
Yeah. The mitzvah of Megillah is fake.
Yes.
The mitzvah. So that's what the Pimagonim is telling us over here. That the mitzvah of the reading of the Megillah, is not to be looked at the Rabbanon, it's rather to be looked at as a Divrei Kabbalah, which is with its chumras.
That was the whole lot Divrei Kabbalah, or is it just the Megillah reading Divrei Kabbalah?
Divrei Kabbalah is anything that was written in Sukkot.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to check what he says over here about that, but I believe that it would be 33. Yeah. So yes, the answer is indeed. Okay, that's a really important point. Really important point. Siman Tov Reish Tzadi Gimel, top of page 318. Achar Kriyas HaMegillah Be'arvis. We're now talking about the evening. Okay, what happens by the evening? Ooh, there was one more point I want to mention. Does anybody remember the Gulf War? Which year was the Gulf War?
91.
Who was Netzel 91?
Who was what?
Were you in Netzel 91?
No.
No, not much after. Okay.
Before your time as well.
A little bit before. Just like, you know, 5 years before. Probably ended up in, I was in the Purina. Yeah. So Gulf War, apparently, to be checked and confirmed, but I heard from a reliable source, Gulf War finished on, you know, do you remember? On Purim, right. So, but it was apparently a couple of days before that, there was an announcement made by the Bat Dinim in Eretz Yisrael that Kriyas HaMegillah should, it was the night was dangerous because of the Scuds missiles. Do you remember that? Yeah? So the night was more dangerous and they were concerned about Scuds missiles. But, you want to read the Megillah, but it's dangerous to go out by night. Therefore, the Bezdin, the Bat Dinim, the Rabbon and the Gedolim, and that's talking about the, you know, the top Gedolim, they authorized reading the Megillah based on what we learned yesterday. But it went. Plagamincha. To reading the night Megillah reading was authorized to be done from Plagamincha onwards. Based on what we saw yesterday, what did we see yesterday? Tainus, you remember that whole Shulchan Aruch? Okay, but it's the light. It makes all the difference. That hour makes a big difference. Yeah. I suppose this is a. Yeah. So Rabbi says, so it was Aloch Lamais, not going back so long. Kriyas HaMegillah publicly was permitted, plug after plug. Right? Good. So it's top of page 318, says it for us Purim. The Aloch is as follows. Acha Kriyas HaMegillah Be'arvis. After the night reading, Be'arvis, Be'night. Oymeh, he says, Ve'ato Kodosh. Yeah. Ve'im Chod B'Motzei Shabbos. If Purim falls on Matzah Shabbos, not like this year. Oymah ve'inoyam kodim at the kodesh, you say ve'inoyam before that. Alright. Ve'oymah ve'itelecha, you'll also say ve'itelecha. So do not refrain from saying ve'itelecha, you will also say ve'itelecha if Purim is on Matzah Shabbos. That's alright. Ve'korin ha-megillah, v'achkach mavdil, you read the Megillah, and after that, you do the Megillah. You do the Megillah, after the Havdalah. There's a discussion over here about the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Kotan Aleph, about the Kaddish Tiskabel. Okay. See, based on Shulchan Aruch, Oymer al Nisim b'Lalo v'Yoyim. You say al Nisim both by night and by day. Ve'im lo yom oroi en machzirin oisei. If a person forgot to say al Nisim, you don't go back. Just like if somebody forgot al Rosh Yom tonight, yeah, he doesn't have to go back. Yeah. So here also al Nisim, you don't go back for al Nisim. Okay. Ve'einom al Nisim rak b'Yoyim Yudalet. You will only say al Nisim on the 14th. Avloi betesvah, but on the 15th. Uveleil Yudalet, and on the night of the 14th, Avo Bishul Akura Megillah Dain, although you haven't said the Megillah yet, so on Thursday night, Maariv, are you first saying Shemoneh Esrei or are you first reading the Megillah? Shemoneh Esrei comes first. That Shemoneh Esrei, you will say, Alanisim, although you haven't heard the Megillah. So I don't know if that's a big chiddush or not. Uveleil Yudalet. So before the reading of the Megillah, Af al pi although shalai kora Megillah dan, you haven't read the Megillah yet. Oyme, you will say al anisim tefilas avis. There is a question the Mishnah Berurah addresses. What if you daven Maariv early? You know the scenario of the Gulf War. Or say the scenario that a person is fasting, and you know yesterday's scenario about the person who is reading the Megillah on Tainus Esrei. He's davening Maariv early. All right, can happen. You daven Maariv early. Nothing wrong with it. So if you're davening Maariv early, will you say al Nisim? Yes or no? You do. Yeah, exactly. Like we find in Shabbos. Yeah. Sure. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Dalet, who v'alayin la'afilim hektem, even if you preceded, you daven Maariv early, le'ispan al-Avis Kolim, says the Kichovim, if you daven Maariv before, says the Kichovim. There is a very interesting Mishnah Berurah v'yin Sifkot Vav. Okay, we said, so there's 2 days Purim, right? There's either Purim on the 14th or on the 15th, depending on whether you live on in a... Yeah, either walled city or not. Okay, so what happens if you are a you live in? So we have Purim on Friday this year, and on and you're going to say Al Nisim on Friday. On Shabbos you're suddenly getting confused. Oh, one second here. In Yerushalayim it's Purim now and everything here, and say you know it's all a bit confusing, and you're going to say Al Nisim on Shabbos. By mistake, you're confused, you know, lockdown and the virus. I don't know, it's all confusing this year a little bit. Friday, Shabbat, you know, just, and you're saying Al Nisim. Or vice versa. same shaila the other way around. If a person in Eretz Yisrael who has got Purim Mishulash, their Purim really in Yerushalayim, their Purim this year is on Shabbos, and by mistake, they sell Nisim on Friday too. Is that, what would you do about that? So if you're saying the wrong Nisim on the wrong day, repeat. Why? Why repeat? It's the wrong way. Like if I would say Nisim today, I'd have to, I messed up my Shmoneh Esrei, right? If I say Nisim today, I have to go back. Very big chiddush indeed, but that's precisely what the Mishnah Berurah says. Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot and Vav that it is mamash the word. He mamash uses your words. I'm in Sifkot and Vav, second line. Miu im amoroi en machziri noisoi. If you did say you don't go back, the mikol mokim, because nevertheless yesh ktsas shaychus. There's a bit of shaychus. How should we translate shaychus in this context?
Connection.
There's a bit of connection biyomim elu to those. To those days. There is a bit of connection. So don't tell me, what do you mean? It's like saying an essay on random. No, it's not random. There's still some sort of connection. It's not Purim here, but it's Purim in Yerushalayim. Or in the other way around. Maybe Purim in Yerushalayim, but, you know, in other words, the Yudal and Tezlov, it's not so disconnected. We don't say that. What does it mean, Yalav Yavon on the 8th day of Pesach? What do you mean?
Or whatever. They end up saying, it's got 2 days
Yom Tov
at the end, and
Eretz Yisrael is not on. So, what are you going to say? You don't really see Yalav Yavon. What are you referring to? Because really, you'd say it's Yom Tov. You'd say Yom Tov Davening. Yom Tov Davening, for sure, you can't say. Rabbi Isai, important to know, because it happened in the past. It happens a lot. It's a common shaila. It's a very common shaila. Because also, I know why this shaila happens so frequently. Sidurim will often say, you say Al Nisim on the 14th or the 15th. Yeah? Why? Because, you know, 14th for, you know, and 15th for Yerushalayim. So it said, I don't even know what the article does. So and therefore it's a bit confusing. So, you know, what shall I do now? Middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So often it happens that people say Al Nisim. So yeah, it's wrong. Of course, it's wrong. You say Al Nisim on Purim. You don't say Al Nisim on Shushan Purim. But if you do say, then you don't go back. Right. It is. Yeah. Yeah. We don't say Tachnun. So it is a bit confusing. And people are still half drunk and everything. So you know, it doesn't help matters.
Well, they were sure it's wrong. They keep the pseudo on Sunday.
Yes, but they still won't sell an Nisim. Yes, but they won't sell an Nisim on Sunday.
You do the pseudo on Sunday.
Yes, but you don't sell an Nisim. I know it's really, really strange. Yeah. Yes, because Matanos Levyonim is on Friday because that's connected to the Megillah. Yeah, Shlachman is not here. But this is the main halacha. There's chumas in all directions. Siv Gimel Rabbi say Ein Koyin Boys Halel. There is no Halel on Purim. If you noticed, isn't that strange? There's no Halel on Purim. Ve'inof Napnei, but you don't say Tachron. No Halel, no Tachron. Ve'inof Napnei, ve'inof Napnei, ve'inof Napnei, and we don't say Namzach El Rabbi. Why do we say Halel on? Why is Halel on? Have you ever thought of it? Wouldn't it not be? And it's not because people are really rushed.
The Halel Shaykh from spiritual saving.
Yeah. Saving. Good. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot and Zayin. The Bishlam of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when it comes to Yetzias Mitzrayim, fully understand, Hallelu Avdei Hashem, V'lo Avdei Paroi, Kip Hallelu, it should be praised, Avdei Hashem, V'lo Avdei Paroi, you know, the servants of Hashem praise Hashem, and not the servants of Paroi. We're not servants of Paroi anymore. However, V'lhocha, when it comes to the old miracle of Purim, Hakata Avdei Achashverosh, and we're still slaves of Achashverosh. Why are we slaves of Achashverosh? Good question. Because we don't have the physical enslavement like we had on the Paroi, but Sheva Malchus, we're still not completely free. So meaning.
How is it connected with
Devash Ruchani things like
Hanukkah?
Yeah, it is. So therefore, you're suggesting that
something that's purely physical saving, as it were, it's not
Yeah, but I suppose that's would be another reason. I mean, the partial they've been that there's still an element of halal is recited when there is you'd have thought that is there's a miracle and we're saved. But myself, pardon? Hanukkah. I don't remember. Let's go back to Hilchas Chanukah. The Gemara does say that.
Yeah, so why does he say it differently?
Yeah, it's a good question. I do not know. Yeah, very good. Yeah, and just very quickly to finish before we Matin Siv Dalet, very quickly. Matin Sefer Torah, we come past Vayavoy Amalek. We take a Sefer Torah, we read Vayavoy Amalek. There's only 9 psukim in it. For Kovrin Posuk Achen, we repeat the last Posuk twice. We repeat it. Kedil Hashli Masar Psukim in order to get to 10 psukim. There's only laning for 10 psukim. You can only read when we have 10 psukim. Lemaisa, there's only 9 psukim there. So we've got to repeat the 9th Posuk a second time to get to 10 psukim. Ve'ein ha-minig lichfo la Posuk achen shel ha-pasha. The Moses says, that's not our minig. Sfarim do that, not Ashkenaz. For Kedil ha-megillah v'achkach sedek tusha, we read the Megillah by day, and then we say sedek tusha. She'esh mila b'purim, when there's a mila on Purim. Have you ever witnessed that? Mila on Purim? Before reading the Megillah. Okay, over to you.
Okay, Pashas Ora. So in this week's Parsha, we read Trefa lo tochlu. Trefa animal we don't eat, and we throw it to the dogs. And I think if we ask, like, just generally people, I'm not sure, but I think we ask, like, what's the worst thing a person can eat? I'd probably say trefa meat. But in the Gemara towards the end of Yuma, we learn that the punishment for eating treif meat is malchus, lashes. And the punishment for eating produce of Eretz Yisrael that hasn't been truma ma'asud is misa b'dei shamayim. So we learn from there that it's worse to eat, let's say, an apple from Eretz Yisrael that hasn't had truma ma'asud, take it from it, than it is to eat treif meat. Which I think is sort of a chiddush maybe for a lot of people. So with that in mind, I thought, when I learned that Gemara, I thought to myself, so I'm eating cereal. There's a cereal called Dorset cereal. And in it, they have, like, dates and maybe other things. I think dates is something it's a type of fruit it's more uncommon to be grown in some countries, because as far as I understand, is that dates need a very hot temperature. Apparently, you don't get good produce unless it's 18 miles away from the sea. And I think the Jordan Valley in Eretz Israel is like a... It's called the City of Dates in Nach, and everyone's ever driven past it, it's miles and miles and miles of, like, beautiful date trees. Dates also come from, I think, Tunisia, Morocco, Iran, but generally it's not, like grapes that can grow in London, in your back garden. So with that in mind, I thought, is there a problem of us eating, like, Dorset cereal? It's got a Haskama of London based in. But as far as I understand, the Haskama is only to do with the cooking. And when it comes to the fruits, we're relying on a bittul. But obviously it's not bittul like 1 in 60, like with a drop of milk in, say, chicken soup, because there the taste is like nullified. But here, my suspicion is that when these companies bring in, let's say, fruit from Eretz Israel or wherever, Tunisia, they bring like a ton of dates, let's say, and then they'll make a batch of it and then it will go out to the supermarkets. So it could be in that bowl, okay, it's bitter, but it could be 100%, let's say, dates in my bowl of cereal. So do I have to be, like, concerned about that? So another sort of related question would be, many sort of questions would have a problem, like, that would affect my neshama, let's say. So let's say I had a suit shot and it's tested, and I wore it for some years, and then somehow it gets retested and there's a problem, there's shatness in it. So, like, all those years I've worn it, has there sort of been a problem? Like, do I have a problem in Shemaim, sort of thing? So the Shulchan Aruch rules that when it comes to meat, let's say I buy something from the butcher and I find a problem, like, it's rules that we shouldn't do extra checking unless there's reason to believe there's going to be a problem with it. And also, if someone buys an animal from, let's say, a farmer, if there's on the premise that it's going to be shechted and there's a problem with it, then the money should be returned. So I've got a sort of little vort from Zilberstein, and they address this sort of issue. So let's say someone bought the chicken and had a broken leg, and then they took it back to the butcher. So the question is, like, who would pay for that chicken? Can the butcher say, look, don't ask me for any money. It's you did the extra checking. I did what I was meant to do. It's, you know, it's your problem. Or do we say, no, like, this, it was never a good animal to be eaten, and you should get the money back? So that's sort of a question we're looking at. Okay, so the Darkei Teshuva says that if a person wants to be strict, they want to make sure the neshama is clean, they can do the extra checking, and they get their money back. They get the refund. And the Tzavua Shor says, there's a Gemara in Chulin, says if a needle is found in the stomach of a cow, the cow's fine. But the Gemara goes on to say that Rebbe, like, checked the animal. And there's a question in the Gemara whether he checked it intentionally or unintentionally. And they conclude in the Gemara that it was checked unintentionally because Rebbe wouldn't cause a loss, like, to the farmer. So then we see, like, maybe that we shouldn't cause do the extra checking. So I think the sort of conclusion of the Devatara there is that if a person wants to be machmir with themselves and not have that stain on the neshama, then they can do that extra checking and they should get the refund. So I would say, like, in my opinion, that if we want to be extra careful, then we should, like, check the mice of those dates from the cereal. Nice. I like that.
Yeah, thank you.
Say that again.
Shabbos.
Shkoyach.
Very good. Shkoyach.